Good morning. It is 8:18, and you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And lucky for me, I have a special guest in the studio. I have a Sitka fellow. I have Adam Horowitz. Good morning.
Good morning, Holly.
Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
We've had quite a few Sitka fellows coming in, and everyone has really brought something very unique to our community. And what brings you to town?
What brings me to town? I think part of it is the deep need for some time and space outside of the city. I live in New York City, to think about different things and get to dive into some books and thoughts.
That sounds like the perfect crime. We all want to get away. Are you on sabbatical, or are you truly in research mode?
I am on sabbatical. Took a sabbatical from the organization that I'm working with. And had this opportunity to come here, and it's so much more than just me on the island reading the books. I have this amazing company, as you know, of seven other fellows, and I've gotten to meet amazing folks in town.
And what company are you returning to?
Yeah, that's called The Future Project, and that is an organization that I helped start over the last year and a half or so. Works in education, works with high schools and high school students, and partners high school students with folks from the community, a lot of college students and young professionals, and gets them creating projects based on their passions.
And is there an example of something you're looking forward to returning to?
I mean, it's amazing to watch these transformations. These are kids who, you know, in 12 years of public education have never been asked the question, hey, what do you really care about? What do you want to create? So we have kids, you know, making documentary films, starting skateboard camps, all kinds of social cause campaigns. And yeah, it's cool to watch these light bulbs click on both sides of the table, because the kid has this idea, wants to do it. But then these people we call coaches, you know, in helping a young person figure out what do they really care about and what do they want to do, they have that realization. So it's kind of all around people sparking.
That sounds fun. And I don't want to give you a boring title. You probably are not just a facilitator or a teacher, but you gave yourself sort of a better title, and that would be?
Projectician. Probably for the last at least 6 years, I've called myself a projectician. It's kind of in college realizing, well, I'm probably not going to have a normal career path. I have interests that totally run the gamut. What I do, though, that seems to be the through line here, is I do creative collaborative projects.
And that's kind of nice, because as you introduce yourself, if you heard like facilitator or teacher, the people would just think, oh, I'm going to fall into old patterns. So how what makes you stand apart? And I understand, you know, you're a creative collaborator and you're looking at interdisciplinary projects. Mm-hmm. And I know other people in town have attempted this, but give us the secret, or at least a seed of what would make a difference.
No secret, just a lot of curiosity. You know, this title has worked as I've done, you know, parades in Denmark, and as I've organized kind of community-based theater stuff in Colombia. So I've really gotten to you know, take part in projects in other parts of the world. I don't know. Being a projectician, it has this element of like magic and whimsy, the magician type thing. But it's also, you know, it's also about being able to listen to the needs and ideas of a lot of different groups, share a space with them, and help something get created from that.
And how important is it to you to see a project to its end? I mean, are you more of the type of person who likes to just the beginnings of things to get the conversation started and then like, my work is done, you know, go forth and prosper? Mm. Or do you like to be physically there to see it through fruition?
That's an interesting question. I do have an impulse kind of as a catalyst. I love to kind of plant the seed. Of course, depending on what kind of project that is, sometimes mm-hmm. you have a moral responsibility, you know, to see it through to the end.
Yeah. Is there something in town that, well, while you're reading and this deep core research time, something within town that you're like, oh, you guys are on the right path? Because you're on the Sitka Fine Arts campus.
Sure.
And that is
just the hub of
a lot of activity. Yeah.
Yeah, got to be there for the seafood festival this weekend, which was a lot of fun. And it's very, very cool to see that spirit of volunteerism and kind of roll up the sleeves. Let's make this into something. And I'm so curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, there. The seafood festival is 3 years old. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about Sitka is you can have an idea, and no one says, that's a terrible idea, or we've done that before, that we're just like, yeah, come mm-hmm. on, let's all get together. There's a little bit of project fatigue. Mm. How do you keep people motivated that they said, well, you know, we want to have festivals, we want to create new nonprofits, we want to create collaborative. How would you as a projectician help people sort of keep the energy up and the momentum of these projects to continue?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two things. One, I think, is the kind of space that that I'm lucky to have right now. But it's this reflection phase, right? I'm thinking about, am I going to start a new organization? Am I going to be writing about these ideas? But I'm thinking about kind of leverage points, we might say. So where is it really worth putting your energy? Do you start a new nonprofit with all the infrastructure that that requires? Or, you know, if you just take those few steps back, give yourself time, can you actually identify four people who are already doing something like this and, you know, harness the assets that are already in the community?
And now I'm going to take the dark road, money. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, that everybody's like, oh, these are all great ideas and energy and creativity. What about money? And money is a sensitive subject in Sitka. We're on an island, and we have a small population to cultivate money from. Mm-hmm. That's probably a universal issue that comes up.
Sure, sure. And we have very much, you know, there's a problem with the project thing, which is, you know, the hit and run project, the one grant project. So many of these things are relying on money. So a lot of what I'm thinking about is how do you work with folks where they are. How do you train people to be able to really recognize, like, the assets that are in the community, especially talking about creative and cultural assets? And, you know, there's no secret here, but it's how do you come up with kind of ingenious, low infrastructure ways of highlighting that, of celebrating that, and creating value, which does not have to, you know, mean economic value. And I think, you know, if you look at the last 30 years of arts advocacy in America, artists and community-based workers have had to put themselves in a box, really, or have chosen to put themselves in a box in order to get these kinds of funds, you know, which requires showing politicians and legislators the economic value of the arts. There's a whole new body of research coming out now that's about the intrinsic value of the arts, right? The ways that it cultivates empathy, the importance of creativity, not just for individuals, but for organizations, towns, corporations even, you know, top business people will say, you got to be creative. So what are we doing to cultivate that? And how do we start shaping this argument from one of, like, the economic value of the arts to one of really, wow, there's so much more.
And you had, we spoke off the air, you had a very clever idea of how to value it. There's AmeriCorps, there's Vista, and maybe there could be.
Yeah, so I've been here thinking about the Culture Corps. What would that look like? We have thousands and thousands of folks with kind of arts backgrounds, young graduates coming out of school every year who want to do, you know, meaningful community-based work. Meanwhile, there are practitioners, there are organizations who have been around for decades who have developed methodologies and are working with communities, but there's not really a link in between. There's no go-to place for that person who wants to do that work, and they end up bushwhacking their own path.
I think that's a terrific idea. And hopefully you'll be able to cultivate more projecticians as you meet more people mm-hmm. and do collaborative work. I'd like to thank my guest, Adam Horowitz. He's a Sitka Fellow here in Sitka just for another couple weeks.
Till September 1st.
September 1st, and then back to Brooklyn. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.